Even the Pope cannot protect you from what may come.
And welcome to Flickering Dreams. In this edition, we are looking at the film Cabrini. And in Cabrini, it's 1889, and the driven nun, Mother Cabrini, is tasked by the Pope of starting her first female mission in New York City. What she finds there shocks her to the core, and she finds herself in a battle with the city elite, who are not just anti-women, but also even more anti-Italian. Here's a clip.
This is America. The greatest nation on earth. Where rats have it better than Italian children.
If we are to build an empire of hope, we must first conquer New York.
Our New York.
Andy, why don't you start off on your views of Cabrini, please?
Yeah, I was really looking forward to this because it's from the writer-director of Sound of Freedom and also from the Angel Studios, which has given us the excellent TV series The Chosen. I really thought this was a superb production. The thing that I want to say most about this is how much I love the production values. I really felt right from the opening shot that I was there in New York in 1888, 89. I really felt the poverty. You could, it's one of those films, and this sounds stupid to say, but the smell of poverty came through. The sound of poverty came through.
You saw it in 4D, did you? Yeah.
No, not at all. I mean, I was going to say, I only ever saw it on my laptop because I was fortunate to be sent an advanced copy of the film by the production company.
You ought to try to get to see this at the cinema.
I'm intending to, Bob. I really am.
I agree with you. It's absolutely magnificent. And the cinematography as well by Spaniard, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, Gorka Gomez Onu, is, I thought, simply wonderful. Some of the framing of the shots was just magnificent. Yeah,
absolutely agree. And also Gene Beck's score is really delightful as well, but also quite hard-hitting in a way. So for me, this film brought alive poverty in a very real, vivid way. There's almost like at times you almost think you're looking at photographs of the time rather than a sort of obviously a stage set of New York. I thought that the performances were all terrific. I thought the script was really intelligent. I waited for the bit at the end where we get to find out about the real Cabrini and what happened, and I knew that there are Cabrini orphanages and hospitals all over the world, but I never knew the story, the backstory. So this was fascinating. Really enjoyed it. And it was a 10 out of 10 for me, just on production values alone, but the performances, the music, everything else about it, rated a 10 for me. Gripping story, true story, really well told.
Okay, good. Emma, would you agree?
Thought it was very well done, as if you both said. I didn't know anything of Mother Cabrini at all, never heard of it, like the whole thing, like when it came up at the end saying this is where she's managed to have her organization spread, as it were. I was amazed. I'd never heard of it. I enjoyed the way they had done the story. I did feel it was a little too long, and I think like the acting was really good, that some of the kids were great in it. There was literally only one moment though where I really felt like I had obviously connected with the characters, and I was crying at the screen. And particularly John Lithgow, I did not enjoy his performance at all.
As in you didn't like his character?
I also didn't like his character, but I felt it felt a bit too, not quite pantomimey to me, but maybe a little bit overacted. I liked what he was representing in the story, but it just didn't gel for me.
Okay. Scott, anything to add?
Not so much in terms of adding. I think the other guys have all said it perfectly. I think score, cinematography, both phenomenal. The acting was just great across the board. Special mention to David Morse, who is one of the archbishops in here that she meets up with to help her when she gets to New York. I say help, sort of. Sometimes help, sometimes not. Yeah, I found this a very emotional movie as well. I didn't know anything, like Emma, never heard of her before, didn't know anything about her or her orphanages. But just the flow of the story, just the way it went from when we first meet her in Italy, and the way she was speaking to the Pope with such confidence and authority as well, I thought was quite interesting. And just this clearly inspirational woman who had strong character, a lot of attitude, would never say no, or she wouldn't take no for an answer, I should say. Yeah, special woman and special movie. Not an easy movie, I'll say. Just like we talked about Origin last week, it's another movie that's not easy to watch, but is an excellent watch.
Mm. Yeah. I thought Christiana Del Anna as Cabrini, Mother Cabrini, I think she gave an excellent performance, really. Yeah. Solid performance, yeah.
I mean, we talked about awards last week in the Oscars. I don't know whether this qualifies for next year's or not, but I would.
No, there was a suggestion that maybe it
in that category.
It's already been and gone, as it were.
Yeah,
it was overlooked.
Which
I think, given the production design and the cinematography, I think that's.
I mean, Angel Studios that produce it is quite a small studio, but they did do Sound of Freedom last year. So
yeah, that's right. I mean, I agree with everything you said. I also mentioned the title song over the end titles by Andrea Bocelli and his daughter.
Amazing.
Beautiful. Virginia, which I thought could also have been an Oscar nom contender if it's not passed it by. I noticed they did the same pay it forwards trick over the end titles with the barcode to buy cinema tickets for underprivileged people, which worked them a treat for Sound of Freedom. I somehow suspect this will not have the same fervor behind it. The whole thing with Angel Studios kind of left me a little bit puzzled, and the whole production and direction team, because Sound of Freedom was accused of being kind of full of male machismo characters and far right wing in its kind of structure. It got a lot of flack for this, and this film almost feels like the complete antidote to that. Its politics are definitely left-leaning. All the entrepreneurs and the business people are the baddies in it, and it's got a really strong, amazingly strong set of female characters who mostly end up disempowering the men. So the whole thing felt like it was almost saying, well, we've done this, now we're going to do this. But I say, every scene I thought was a joy to look at, and the whole film, I just found a joy from start to finish. I have to say, it was long, but I really didn't notice length. I was just so wrapped up in the story. I mean, this is an absolutely definite go and see on the big screen for me.
Something I did have a problem with. So I went and saw the unlimited screening of Immaculate, and I didn't have time to write down notes for each film tonight, and I'd missed this. So I was like thinking about it in the car on the way home. And I was like, oh, this bit happened. I was like, oh, no, that was the other film. No, don't get them mixed up.
Don't get the good nun and the
Don't get those
nun.
Two mixed up, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's do scores on the doors. Emma?
7.
7. Scott?
It's a 10.
Andy?
Like Origin last week and like Scott, it's a 10 for me as well.
And it's a 10 for me, I have to say. So about 3 tens and a 7, 37 divided by 4, which is a Flickering Dream score of 9.25, making Cabrini a really solid gold hit for us. Jolly good. Thank you so much for listening or watching Flickering Dreams. You can find the video version on YouTube and the audio version on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get each of the weekly episodes as they are released. We'll see you at the movies.